Luke chapter 18. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? When Christ comes, is he going to find faith? Or will our faith have petered out long ago? Is he going to find people still believing? Is he going to find people praying and fainting not? What does it mean to pray and faint not? It means to continue to seek what you're after. When you seek God for, thy kingdom come. You know? Do you give up? Say, well, how about my kingdom come? I want my house, my car, my life to be built up. And instead, and you leave off seeking the kingdom and seek rather your own kingdom. Or you just quit altogether for whatever particular reason you have. When we ask and faint, it means we've given up the pursuit of that which we're after. And if we were dealing with an unjust judge, well, we know he would not trouble himself to help us. But in this parable, it's very simple. The meaning is, if an unjust judge will avenge some woman he doesn't even care about, how much more is God going to avenge his own elect, those who he has chosen? As Christ uses the term elect. And we usually think of elect in terms of elite, and that's really not a proper understanding of election. Election means selection. God doesn't choose us, though, because we're elite, because we're better than other people. He chooses us for his purposes, that he might be glorified. You know, as it is written, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Before we were born, we were chosen, if we are his elect. And not by any works that we have done, because before we were born, what works could we do? There are none. Our life begins in the womb. But from God's perspective, it begins with his idea. It begins with his mind. The only place I existed before I was born was in the mind of God, an idea, my elect. My elect. I must bring forth my elect. God doesn't choose us for our strengths. Like an elite force, you would pick out the best men. But God chooses us in order to put his strengths into us and to transform us, that his power may be shown in us. I mean, God has lots of ways he could show his power. But he wants to show us his power in us for our sakes. So that we could be made the sons of God. If God merely wanted to declare himself to man, there's a lot of easier ways he could do that. But that really isn't God's purpose. God's purpose is to raise up sons. And the way he's chosen to raise up his sons is precisely what you see before your eyes. In the midst of all this worldliness and all this ungodliness and sin, God is raising up sons prepared for the powers of the world to come, ready to become co-heirs with Christ. And when we pray to God, we ought not faint, but to continue to seek that which we're after. If it's righteousness, pray with consistency and without fainting. God, grant me righteousness. God, give me the things you promised you'd give me. He will. But the thing is, as Jesus says at the end, but when I come, will I find faith? Because remember, though they are his elect, yet still, he suffers long with us. We're sinners, or we have been. And we're definitely not supposed to be sinners anymore. These things can take time. I might want something, but God may not have given me yet the faith to obtain it. He may not be ready to release it. He suffers long with us. You know, that's why it always makes me think of what Paul says in Romans. Romans chapter 2. You know, after he goes to the list of all the sins that men do that exclude them from God's kingdom, he talks about judging each other and how, since all men are sinful like this, it's inexcusable to judge another man because we do the same things. But we also know that the judgment of God is sure concerning such things. Meaning, when I say murder is sinful, it's not really me that's judging him. It's God that's judging him. It's the judgment of God. Now, my judgment is also that murder is wrong. And that's what makes it inexcusable for me to do murder. Because I know it's wrong. Because I judge other people. And when we judge and we do the same things, we're as guilty as they are. But by refraining from judgment, we can't change that. Because the judgment of God is sure. And moreover, our conscience already tells us what's right and wrong. And we do wrong in spite of what our conscience tells us. So man is in quite a pickle. Do we think that we will escape? No. But neither do we do this. Romans 2, 4. Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearing and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? The goodness of God in not executing judgment swiftly on sinners leads me to repentance. Meaning, if God had killed me in my sins 10 years ago, I never could have repented from them. But because he put up with my sinfulness for a long time, he suffered long with me, he put up with me, and then finally gave me what I wanted. In all that doing, he was leading me to a place of repentance. People question then, well, why this, why that? You know, why the long time? And I can only say that through experience, I've learned that experience these things in reality, and then actually going through all the sin, and the grief, and the sorrow, and the repentance, and the feelings that come out, it is much more effectual, and much more of a real learning experience than just, let's say, we open up a book, and I catechize you. You know, I just put you into, okay, these are the doctrines, that you say this, turn around 3 times, stand on your head, say 10 Hail Marys, and you're done. God has his own way of bringing each of us, who are his elect, to repentance. And we should not despise God's long suffering towards other people. That's why we ought not go around saying, people, that sinner is going to burn in hell. Because that sinner may be your brother in a month, in a week, in a day. You don't know. It's impossible to really judge someone with that kind of finality. Now, we know that the judgment of God is sure against sin.